Amen. That was beautiful, young people. Thought was, and this is kind of a dreary thought, but that when the hard times do come, and they will come, I pray to God that our young people that just sang that song will hear their own voice saying those words and live it for themselves. Church, we have an opportunity every day around us to do exactly what that song said and preach the Word of God. And it's in those moments when we have that opportunity, will we follow through and let the Word of God go forth. I pray that we do. I pray that we are obedient. Praise the Lord. Appreciate that song, young people. Did a wonderful job. I want to remind all of our men and young men, this Saturday morning is going to be a great time in the Lord. Men's breakfast, a time of fellowship and coming together for the men of the church, the young men of the church as well. I believe that's at 9 a.m. Is that correct, Brother Jim? 9 a.m. You don't want to get there at 9:05. I'll just tell you that much. You want to be there about 5-10 minutes early, because that line, they don't mess around. This isn't like church dinner where all the ladies, you know, we want to be gentlemen in front row. It's savage, man. You got to get in and get your stuff. All right? It's men's day. It's man day. All right? So you go. You better be ready to feast. Amen. I'm exaggerating completely. You all know that, though. I'm just playing. But it's a great time in the Lord, and I appreciate Brother Jim and his helpers that are getting all this together. Let's stand tonight for the reading of the Word, the book of Psalms, chapter number 1. Book of Psalms, chapter number 1. Was reading a few weeks ago through our time together in the Word. And this chapter jumped out at me again, and it's been dwelling in my heart for the past few days. Just a simple idea. My aim tonight is to really draw our attention to the comparison of a godly Christian lifestyle to that of the nature of a tree. Even in God's design in nature, we're able to see His plan and design for our lives and for the lives of all believers. Since He's the creator of nature, Sister Diane already made mention of this tonight, He's the creator of all things, and He's also our creator. And I thank God that we are not only directed in His Word, but by His Word we know that there are other things that He laid out for us, that if we'll just get a hold of His plan, it'll be the best life we could ever imagine. You know, I have seen folks, Sister Rose, as believers that have continually, it seems like their life is a continual struggle. And yet we still, because of this Word, because of the hope and the plan that God has for our lives, we know that even if this life is a mess, we've got hope. And we have hope of another life. And we have hope of another place. You see, that's what you know what, let me just read. I'm going to get ahead of myself, and you're going to be standing while I'm doing that. So, book of Psalms, chapter number 1, verse 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. The psalmist could have had no idea that thousands of years later, Christ would come and say, I've not come to destroy the law, but to fulfill it. And today, as you and I as believers, we don't just glory in the law. We glory in the one who conquered the law, who fulfilled the law. We glory tonight in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Verse 3 said, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous. Hallelujah. But the way of the ungodly shall perish. Oh, what a word tonight. Amen. I just want to preach for a little while tonight on like a tree. Just like a tree. Why don't we just lift up our heads one more time and ask the Lord to minister to us. Heavenly Father, we love you. I love your word. Oh, it's alive tonight, Father. I feel it already ministering. Lord, I pray that it would go forth tonight and not return void. I pray the words that you would allow me to speak, God, would be words that are anointed by your sweet Holy Ghost. Lord, I pray tonight that you would minister to the inner man, Lord, and every individual that's here tonight, that we would as a congregation and as individuals draw closer to you, Father, by being in your house, God. Lord, if we are not closer to you when we leave, it is not your fault. God, we know you're here. I pray that we would, or that you would open up our eyes and our minds and our hearts to see that you're here and that we would draw close to you, Father. Amen. You can be seated tonight. God has designed a plan for every man, every woman, every boy and girl. He has designed a plan that will bring about a fruitful life, a fulfilling life, a life of joy and a life of peace. Now, Brother Brian, I don't experience that life every day because there's things that we all go through. I understand that. I agree with that. Every one of us in this room have at one morning or at one midnight hour had some feeling of fear or pain or even torment upon our hearts. We do go through things in this life. All right, that's not my whole goal here is to remind us of the things that we go through. My goal here is tonight to remind us of the fact that God's plan for us, no matter how hard this side, this pilgrimage on this earth is, his plan is better than 1,000 years of the greatest kings that have ever ruled this earth and not known who Jesus is. The life of a Christian, hear me, young people, the life of a believer will always, 100% of the time, be more satisfying, more fulfilling, and more gratifying than any day in the greatest life of a sinner. It's that way because God designed it to be that way. Now, how am I drawing that from this scripture? I want us to realize that there are some things that we can see in nature that I believe that can kind of parallel the life of a true believer. The first thing I want us to draw our attention to is the fact that, like a tree, believers are planted. Now, I'm not very much into horticulture. There's folks in this church, this building tonight, that are really gifted at knowing what is exactly needed to make flowers, bushes, trees healthy, strong, and vibrant. You know what I know? You dig a hole, you put it in it, and you cover it up with dirt, and you hope it doesn't die. That's about the extent of my knowledge. Now, I know that men like Brother Bill, Brother Philip worked at Stockslager's. There's other men and women in this church that have a deep, Fulmer's, that's not, 35 anyway, have a deep understanding of what it takes to make something grow, right? Aren't you glad that there's a nice arrangement outside of this church that when you drive up, it's not just brick? I mean, you've got trees, you've got bushes, you've got flowers. At different times throughout the year, they bloom and they blossom, and it's beautiful to see. Some of you at your homes have different things that you've planted, and you value those flowers. Can I get an amen from some ladies here tonight? If somebody comes through with a weed eater or a lawnmower and busts up some of those flowers, some heads are going to get busted. I've seen it, all right? I've done it. Let me just say it, okay? Guilty. One year, I thought that these were weeds growing up at Mom and Dad's house. Dad just got a brand new John Deere tractor, and I was loving that automatic gas pedal, and I thought these were weeds growing up, and I thought I would be the best son in the world. I mowed down Mom's lilies and just butchered them. They didn't come up that whole year, and you know, wasn't that great of a summer, but that's neither here nor there. We're all planted in one way or another. If we're believers in here tonight, you've been planted not only into Christ, but you've been planted into this body. Tonight, you're sitting amongst a congregation of fellow believers, and you have been planted in this church. But what is the benefit of being planted at all? And the goal of planting a tree or a shrub or a bush or anything that you want to produce a beautiful thing. The goal of planting is to get it to be stable enough to sustain life. The goal of planting a tree is so that one day you will eventually reap the benefits of that tree. Am I correct here? I mean, that's the overarching goal. It, when we plant something, it does look beautiful, but the goal is to reap something out of it. Whether that be shade, whether that be fruit, or whether that be a forest for kids to play in, it doesn't matter. You're still benefiting something from it. You're reaping something. As believers, we are designed to be connected not only one to another, but more importantly, connected to Jesus Christ by being planted. The psalmist said here in verse 3, "He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of living water." Notice that this tree is planted by a living water source. Have any of you ever seen a water source that is stagnant? It's disgusting. There's no life there. It's not flowing. And there's nothing around it that can live off of that nasty water source. But you get something that's alive. I've been driving over now where we live over in the Clayton Englewood area. Some of those back roads have some beautiful rivers by them, over by Little York Road and by Frederick. There's all these different roads that have rivers by them, and it's beautiful. And you can see life all around it. Well, tonight we are literally planted by a river of living water, Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Tonight, he is still the way, the truth, and the life. He is our sustaining power. Any tree in its basic nature is designed so that when you plant it, the root system, the thing that feeds it, the thing that gives opportunity for water to get to the branches, to get to the leaves, to get to the fruit, the root system will continually drive deeper in search for water. Tonight, that ought to be our prayer. As believers, as Christians, is it our desire tonight to go deeper until we tap in to that life-sustaining water? I want to ask you tonight, have you been tapped in recently? Are you in a place where God, or you are allowing God to nourish your heart, nourish your soul? He still is the life giver tonight. Even if we have been in this family of God for years, he still is a way of making us grow. How many of you have ever seen the redwoods out in California? Anybody ever been out there? I so want to go. I remember in school looking at pictures of those where they would hollow one of those big boys out and you could drive a car through it. I thought that was the coolest thing in the world. You know where that big tree started? From a little small seed. But it's amazing how that seed has been given the nature that as long as it's got a way to get a hold of that water and sunlight, and as long as it can still do what it needs to do to live, it'll continue to grow. God has given every believer the exact same nature. If you and I will stay with him, stay planted, stay close to the life source, he has given us the ability to continually grow. Isn't it one of the saddest things you've ever seen when a tree starts growing and it's getting huge and all of a sudden, because of the proximity of its location, they have to lop off a whole section of it? I mean, you see that a lot over roads, Sister Rose. You know, there'll be a tree that'll be growing up right beside a road or a driveway, and because of the fear of what could happen to that tree, they'll cut off a whole half of it. It looks horrible. It's not what it was meant. That tree was supposed to grow. Listen, church, you and I have been designed by God that if we will stay connected to him, we as planted believers in Christ will grow. Colossians 1 and verse 12 says, "Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him." Did you remember tonight, and do you realize you were created by God for God? We have a purpose here. And if you are planted in the kingdom of God tonight, he has designed you with a heavenly purpose. Hallelujah. He's the head of the body, the church, who's the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. Tonight, if we are tapped into that living water, if we are connected to Christ, then all fullness will dwell in him. Tonight, if you feel like you are maybe a little bit disconnected, I want to encourage you to drive the stakes deeper. Allow the roots of your soul to feel that thirst inside and know that it will only be satisfied by the river of living water, Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And having made peace through his blood, or through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself. Hallelujah. And you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled. We are connected. Amen. Trees' roots are designed to bury into the earth, moving towards the best source of life. I'm going to tell you something tonight. God knows where you're at. And he knows if you're needing a fresh touch of living water. He knows tonight. Whether you be an adult who is struggling with an emotion, struggling with a need, struggling with anything, he knows if your roots are dry tonight. Sister Sarah and I were talking, or Sister Sarah was talking, she shared it with me, to a friend that we know, and they shared with Sister Sarah. She just said, I'm so dry. I am so dry. She said, I haven't felt the Lord in 3 years. I'm doing what I want to do. I'm living how I want to live, and I am so dry. Sister Sarah said, well, at least God is now allowing you to feel at least a needing of living water. Let me ask you something tonight. Are you dry? Do you need a fresh touch? Are you thirsty tonight for just a drink from the well of living water? I want to tell you that God, because he has planted you in the family of God, has given you the opportunity tonight to be able to make it to the life source. Hallelujah. Amen. As believers, we draw the same strength and stability and consistency when we go deeper in our search for Christ as a tree does when it's thirsty. You see, we don't really think about it, but sometimes dryness is not necessarily a bad thing. Because when it's dry, that tree's roots will begin to go deeper, Brother Brad, searching for something to give it life. And in doing so, the deeper those roots go, the more stable and the more strong that tree will be. Some of you, and all of us really, have had times in our lives and seasons in our lives where we have felt spiritually dry. Am I alone in that? Am I the only one that has felt spiritually dry? I don't believe I am tonight. There are times where we feel disconnected and we feel so just longing for one more touch. But what we don't realize is even though we may not feel it, the life source is still there. Even though we may not sense it, Jesus is still there. And all the while where we may feel dry, Brother Leitner, God is just taking us in deeper in with him. And so when that next storm comes, when that next trial comes, where before, young people, we may have been easily pushed over because we weren't really deep enough. We were just shallow. But because of the trials that we've been through and those times of thirsting after God, we see now that God was really just taking us deeper in with him so that there's stability there and strength there, and there's spiritual consistency there. Hear me, young people and adults alike. What we need more than ever in our church today is not another program or another way for us to feel good, but it's a way for us to be consistent in who we are as the people of God and stable in what we believe and who we are in Christ. That is what God is wanting to do even tonight, to bring us into the fullness of the relationship with God. God does not desire an unstable relationship. Instability brings no glory to Christ. But when a tree is planted, and it has been planted well, it will always bring about the results of life. Amen. Now here's the sad part. I want to parallel off of this parallel, how an ungodly life will bring no glory to Christ. You see, the Bible said in verse 4 of Psalms chapter 1, the ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Instability a lack of a foundation, no root system, shallow. And when the very first little wind, notice this didn't say a storm pushed the tree over. It said it was like the chaff that when the wind comes, it easily blows wherever the wind goes. The ungodly individual will continually be blown throughout their entire life, from this place to this place, from this experience to this experience, from this high to this low. They will continually be blown throughout their entire existence, because only in Christ do we find what our soul desperately needs, and that is this foundation and the rock that Jesus Christ is. It's in Christ that we find our foundation. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 14 says that henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Do we realize as trees we're growing up into Christ? The Bible said, or Jesus told them, he said, I am the vine and you are the branches. Now, there's a little bit different size and symmetry than between a tree and a vine, but the reality is this: as a tree, we are growing up in Christ. As individuals and believers, we're growing up in him. We may have different looks to every one of us, but every one of us have the same nature, that we are growing up in Christ. The unstable man, the man that is ungodly and that doesn't know God, is continually searching for meaning, for truth, and they're blown about everywhere. And Christ said, that's not my plan for my children. That we just be tossed to and fro with everything that comes at us, every new doctrine, every new cool word in the church, every new thing that comes along. He said, don't be carried away with every wind of doctrine that some men just want to deceive you with, but stay true to the Word of God. Because if you're grafted into the Word of God, and if you're grafted into Christ, then as Christ grows up into the church, we grow with him. Hallelujah. Amen. The carnal nature is weak. We'll say that again. The carnal nature is weak, and it cannot sustain life. How many of us have had experiences with God where we have felt invigorated spiritually? Amen. I'm thankful for those moments. It doesn't even have to be a full day away from that moment. If we allow the carnal man to begin to rise up, it'll immediately drain that spiritual life. Right? Carnality can never sustain life. It can't. As believers, if our hearts are set towards carnality, then it will not be very long until the spiritual man, that tree, withers. But if we're grafted into Christ, we'll grow. Secondly, I want to call our attention to, and I'll hurry along. Trees are producers. They're meant for a reason. Whether it's a peach tree, Dad, or whether it's an apple tree, or whether it's any tree you've got, trees are designed to produce things. And you and I as believers are designed to produce fruit. The verse 3 says again, that tree that bringeth forth his fruit in his season, his leaf also shall not wither. Christ told the disciples in the book of Matthew chapter 7 and verse 15, beware false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit. I want to tell you tonight, this whole thing that we're not supposed to judge anybody, let me tell you, Jesus just laid down the foundation and the litmus test for if somebody is living correctly. If the fruit is not there, they are not of God. I don't care how many miracles they do. If the lifestyle outside of the pulpit doesn't match up to the Word of God, they're a false prophet. We as believers are commanded to be fruitful. We as believers are commanded to have the fruit of the Spirit evident in our lives. And if the fruit of the Spirit is not evident, my question is, if the fruit isn't there, then is the tree really connected to Christ? He said, does a fig come off of a thorn bush? I mean, do we harvest things off of dead trees? Absolutely not. If a tree is dead, it's good for nothing. It is only to be consumed then in the fire. A tree that is alive must bear fruit to be worth anything. And let me tell you something, church. You and I tonight have been given a great opportunity to show this world what a true believer looks like. Evangelism isn't always standing behind a pulpit. But Sister Judy, it can be saying, you know what, you go ahead of me in the cashier line. Evangelism isn't always going out and having a three-point sermon, but it can be the fruit of the Spirit evident in the life of a believer. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth forth not good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. Fruit is an indication of a healthy tree. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 22 says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. You know, I'm thankful to be a part of a body of believers where I do see this evident. You know, when you go out into the world, you ever just feel drained? And that's why I love Wednesday night service, because by midweek, I'm drained. Because there's no fruit out there. It is so refreshing. You can be away from a friend that's a believer. You can be not even see them 5-10 years. But when you get back with them and they're still a believer, that fruit of the Spirit's still there, and there's a connection there. It feeds the soul. The fruit of the Spirit feeds the soul, and it brings glory to God. Therefore, if He is the husbandman, the gardener, the one that planted us, and He is the one that is preparing us to be producers of fruit, then when we do produce, it brings glory to Christ, not the tree. You see, when we produce the fruit of God and the fruit of the Spirit, and it's evident in our lives, automatically it draws glory to God. Now, here is the issue. Again, the parallel of the unbeliever or the believer that is carnally minded. There is no fruit there. It is a lack of fruit that draws the attention to the death of the tree. Do you and I ever walk down an orchard or walk down where there's trees? Are we ever drawn to a tree that is budding and blossoming and say, oh, that tree's alive and well? No, it's the absence of fruit that draws attention to death. It is the absence of the fruit that draws attention to death. Beloved, it is the absence of the fruit of the Spirit in the believer that draws attention to death in the believer. But it doesn't have to be that way. You know, I'm amazed at how you can take a tree. When I worked at Five Rivers Metro Parks for about 2 or 3 years, they had some amazing folks that worked there. You could have a tree that was damaged, Sister Norvell, and it just looked like it was dead. And they would have those folks out there, and they would just look at it, Brother Brad, and they'd study it. Oh, they'd analyze it. And I'd hear him say, you know what, I think we can save it. They might have to cut off this part of deadness. They might have to paste on something that would seal in all the good stuff that was escaping. But it wouldn't be but a few months, and all of a sudden, I'd see a little green leaf sprouting out. And what it looked like was so lost and couldn't be repaired, all of a sudden, you get it in the hands of somebody that knows how to fix it, and there's life. I wish we'd see the parallel tonight. That there's been folks that maybe even under the sound of my voice tonight feel so damaged and hurt, and you've been bruised or you've been battered. You may even feel spiritually dead tonight. But it only takes one encounter with the one who knows how to plant, how to repair, how to fix, and all of a sudden there's life again. You see, our hearts are designed very much like the seed. That seed has literally got life packed in it. You can hold it in your hand, and it's not going to do anything. But you put it in the right atmosphere, and it's going to germinate life. Why? Because it's its nature to live. Now, here's the thing. God designed every human being with a heart that desires to be filled with God. We are absent from Him because of sin. We have been divided from Him. And that longing inside of the heart of every man can only be filled with God, with Jesus Christ. But when Christ comes in, that life that was dormant, that life that was not able to live because of sin, now springs up abundantly. It was Jesus that said, "I have come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly." That is not the plan that the sinner has to save for their life. But when a believer, when a sinner comes to God, the plan changes. God's plan is that all would be saved. God's plan is that all would be planted in the family of God. God's plan is that all would bear fruit. And sometimes we just need to see past the deadness on some folks and know that there's still a God in heaven who's able to bring life out of deadness, who's able to produce fruit out of darkness, who's able to liberate life out of something that is bound by sin. Fruit is able to be produced even in the harshest conditions. The fruit of unbelievers are evident as well, and this is why we feel so drained. I'm going to bring it to a close here. Now, the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness. There's so many more fruits of the flesh than there seem to be fruit of the Spirit, but that's because our carnal man is so messed up. It's so separated from God, I haven't even finished the list yet. Revelings and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have told you in times past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Now here is my warning tonight. If you and I as believers are able to do an analyzing and a self-assessment of our own spiritual condition, we must be able to recognize if these are evident in our fruit patch. I mean, is there wrath amongst us? Do you ever feel so full of strife and envy? If so, it's time to go back to the gardener and ask him to take care of some things. I'm glad to know tonight that God doesn't just drop us off when he plants us. I'm thankful tonight that he stays with us and he prunes us to be full of his fruit. Last thing tonight is this. Christians and trees alike, once they're planted and they're fruitful, they will prosper. They will. The end of verse 3 says, "Whatsoever he doeth," talking about this man that's planted by the river of living water, "whatsoever he doeth shall prosper." Think about that tonight. I don't always feel prosperous as a believer. I don't always feel victorious, but I call our attention again to this. The worst day in the life of a Christian is still better than the best day in the life of a sinner. How do we prosper, Brother Jim? Well, he told us here in verse 1, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night." By having a relationship with Christ and being grafted into him, we prosper. Hallelujah. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 12 through 17. Again, I say, we read this earlier. "Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the powers of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins." Are we not prospering? Hallelujah. How do we prosper? Because our sins have been forgiven. Proverbs 28, verse 13. "He that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy." Tonight, you and I as believers prosper. It may not be financially. It may not be in the world's opinion. But tonight, you and I as believers prosper because our sins have been forgiven. The world, there is men in this world who are so rich that would give all of their wealth if they only knew what it was like to be forgiven. What it was like to stand before an almighty God who has changed us, who saved us, who pardoned us. That is prospering tonight, church. Let us not ever forget. It may seem dark in the world, but tonight as believers, we are prospering through Christ. Hallelujah. By our sustaining or abstaining from the sin of this world, we prosper. He said in verse 1, you don't stand with sinners. You don't intermingle with them. You don't entertain yourself with them. By abstaining from sin, we prosper. If I could have the music come, I'm getting to a close here. By abstaining from sin, we prosper because sin wreaks havoc upon the life of every individual that lives in it. Therefore, by abstaining from sin, we abstain from death. By abstaining from sin, we abstain from the disease of sin. By abstaining from sin, we wake up with a clear conscience. I'm telling you, that's prospering. You know, people, don't be confused. You know, the grass is always greener on the other side. The lights are always brighter away from God's house. It's a lie. Maybe there's an adult in here that needs to be reminded of that. It is not always greener on the other side. We have a great life. Sometimes we can be so consumed with living in this great life that when small trials come, we get knocked back because we think, well, this isn't how it's supposed to be. I'm telling you, there's folks in this world who are facing persecution. There's pastors, I guarantee you, right now in China that are having an underground church service somewhere. There are believers in the Middle East who are being persecuted by Muslims right now. Right now. There's Christians in Africa whose churches are being burned, slaughtered. And yet you and I, we're just blessed. We're blessed to fellowship with one another. Sister Sarah and I, and this is not a knock on any other place, it's just the facts of the matter that when we're gone for a few days, we can't wait to get back. There's no place I'd rather be than this church. Because we're blessed. We have fellowship one with another. We have harmony. We have the moving of the presence of God, which is a rarity in these days. Are we not prospering? And if we have forgotten what it means to be prosperous, can we not tonight come back to God and say, Lord, teach me what it means all over again. I just want to have fruit. Church, I believe that's your prayer tonight. That we would just be fruit bearers. That we would get rid of the things of the world that would always tie us down, that'll always divide us. The small, petty things that seem to just hinder the walk with God. If we just ask God to take care of it and say, Lord, trim it off my tree. I want to be a fruit bearer. He'd gladly do it. David said, I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. And he also said, behold, these are ungodly who prosper in the world. They increase in riches. He's not the only one that's ever felt this way. He's not the only one that's ever looked around the world and said, I just don't get it. They sin, they're awful people, and they just seem to be doing good. Because that's not a perspective of true prospering. Are you preaching a prosperity doctrine? Absolutely, because when you get saved, you'll prosper. I'm not talking about finances. I'm talking about faith. And God will take care of things. Hallelujah. Why don't we stand tonight? David closed out the psalm and he said, therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Man, that's harsh, Brother Brian. It's in the Word. God's plan, just like a tree, is that we be planted into the family of God, planted into Christ. That we be producers, fruitful, and that we prosper. The ungodly will never fulfill this plan. But forgive me if it just sounds cliche, but this is the coolest thing, though. Brother Heath, he's still inviting folks in to start the process. Tonight, you might be here and say, Brother Brian, I'm not saved. I'm not a Christian. I don't know the hearts of anyone in this building. I just know that if there's somebody here tonight that you say, I am not planted in Christ, I've got no spiritual fruit that pleases Him, and I'm not going to be successful. I'm not going to prosper. I want you to know tonight, Christ has given you the opportunity to come to Him tonight and to start a fresh walk with Him. I want to ask, if there's anybody here tonight, we're not even going to bow our heads. If you need Christ as your Savior, I want you to come to this altar. We'll use these steps as an altar. We'll pray with you. God has given this gift freely. And I'm so thankful for that. Is there anyone tonight? So, Brother Brian, I need to be saved. I need to be planted in the kingdom of God. Is there anyone? I want you to come. That invitation is going to remain open. I'm going to say another thing. Tonight, church, man, I'm thankful for you all. I don't know if I say that enough. I really am. I'm thankful that there's people in this church that show the fruit of the Spirit every day. But can't we use so much more of God? Don't we have room to where we could just grow some more spiritually and maybe add some more fruit? I think we do. I know I've not tackled every one of that list. I know there's areas in my life to grow. And I just wonder tonight, you know, we're about to enter into revival. I think a great place tonight for us to start would just to be honest with God and say, God, there's some areas in my life that I just need help on. And you'd be amazed at all of a sudden how peace comes in when there wasn't peace before, and love comes in when there wasn't love before, and meekness. Because He's a great God. Why don't we come tonight, church, all across the house? Let's ask Him to work in our hearts. Let's ask Him to work in our hearts that we would be fruit producers. Hallelujah.